Hey, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek. Man, we are continuing talking about resiliency today, and one that I think is actually really important to this. We're going to talk about the power of forgiveness and being a resilient person. So grab your notes, grab your Bible. Let's dig in as we lean into how God is leading us to forgive others as we've been forgiven. Lord, thank you that we sing about you who is the way maker. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we come to the Father through you. We're so grateful that you opened up the way, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus, for the one who offered up your own life. Veil torn. Coming to the presence of God through the beautiful and powerful blood of Jesus. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus, you humbled yourself so much that you became a man, not just any man. You served and you offered your life up on a tree that was destined for the worst of the worst. And the Father says, because you did that, Jesus, that your name is above every other name. In the name of Jesus, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And so, Lord, it's our honor and it's the grace upon us that we can stand today and we can say, Jesus, you are Lord. And why don't you just give you space to that? Listen, we're all going to say that one day, and I know many people believe that today. I just want to give you space just for that to be a confession of your own heart. Just to say, Jesus, you are Lord. You are my Lord. Just put that on your lips. Jesus, you are Lord. You rule and you reign. You are Lord. Even that statement, it comes with so many implications. If Jesus Christ is Lord, if he's over everything, man, what am I worried about? What am I anxious about? What am I fearful about? If I have a good shepherd who's Lord, who reigns above it all, man, Lord, help us to live like that. To not just have a theology about it, but have a life where we trust that you are Lord. So Lord, we trust you. We trust you. We come today in the beautiful and the powerful name of Jesus. And we open up this amazing text and we're going to look at words, Jesus, that you spoke to your followers. And so, Lord, may today's reading, may the message today, may it be saturated with your spirit, knowing that your words, they lead us to life. And so, Lord, we just say right now, we want to hear your words today. Not the words of man, not the thoughts and philosophies of humanity, but the word of God. So we yield to you today, Lord. Lord, today we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. So Lord, may we not be people that just get through, but may we allow you to get through to us today. Change us, transform us as we leave this place. In Jesus' powerful name, everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Go ahead and find a seat. And tell the people to the right, say, I'm happy and excited for the next generation. And mean it. I'm telling you, mean it. Don't just say it, mean it. How many of you know God has something incredible in store for the next generation? Anybody else believe that? And I'm so grateful that we have a church that's multi-generational. As I look out here, man, I see some gray in the house. I love the gray. Come on, gray. I got a little bit of gray. They say that's what happens when you become a lead pastor. You get a little gray. But I love the people that are in the middle stages of life, figuring out careers, figuring out families, and but I'm so grateful that we also have a community where young people from little through their 20s through, if maybe I'm still 30 for one more year, so 30s are young people, that they are looking and seeking for truth. Do you know it's good that we seek for truth? Do you know the next generation is seeking truth? And here's the promise that we're gonna stand on, that those that seek truth, what? They find it. That's what Jesus said. Those that seek will find. And so I'm excited about this next generation. Parents that are here, man, just we bless you. Well done this far. What I've heard, though, your job's not done. Parenting adults, I've heard, it continues. And so just continue to trust the Lord, pray, and model what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's an honor to have you guys with us this morning. I want to continue in our series where we're talking about resiliency. And I can't tell you how many people have reached out and say, man, I didn't know how much I needed to talk about resiliency. Derek, man, I didn't realize that, man, this thing that I'm navigating, man, I had been believing things wrongly. I had been just playing as a victim. And so I needed to hear the truth of what we're talking about the last few weeks. And I would encourage you, if you've missed one of the last few weeks, I think they're actually foundational for the season that we're in right now as a community. And so if you go on the podcast or you go on YouTube, you can see the last few. We started this on Easter. We've been hitting one after another, and I have a sense that maybe just for a few more weeks, we're going to lean into this beautiful thing that Jesus taught us about resiliency. Resiliency is simply, it's the ability to navigate difficulty. It's the ability to not just navigate, but to recover after a challenging event, something happened in life, a tragedy. Somebody did something to you. It's our ability to get back to, and actually not just to get back to where we were before, but to actually ascend and actually grow through the challenge. And Jesus taught us many things as he walked the earth. He taught us how to discern what God is doing. He taught us how to hear the voice of the Father. He taught his followers how to have an abundant mindset, to approach every situation with the possibility of opportunity. But one of the things that Jesus taught, and I think it's actually super powerful, is he was teaching his disciples, how do you forgive? And he didn't just give a cute message and, you know, wow, Jesus, that was a great sermon. Like Jesus, his whole life was lived out in front of them. This is what it looks like to forgive the person that's offended you. Jesus took it so far. He said, this is what it looks like to forgive the people that want to kill you and actually kill you. And I actually believe that being a resilient person, one of the main aspects that is needed is to be a person that doesn't hold on to offense. I can tell you, I meet with a lot of people. I get to be an observer of humanity, of situations. And I can tell you that many people in our community, the reason why they're not able to move forward is because they're stuck in what happened to them in the past. And so today, I'm gonna talk about forgiveness, and we're gonna look at the scripture, and I just wanna give this out on front. I'm not downplaying today any kind of trauma, any kind of hardship, any kind of offense that's been done to you. Listen, in this room is unimaginable pain in some of your stories. There's been atrocious things that have happened to you, and I want you to know we're not downplaying that, and I know who else doesn't downplay that. The Lord doesn't downplay that. But in the midst of that, I believe that he offers a way to free you from living in the past. And today we're gonna talk about that, and we're gonna look at Luke chapter 17. I would love for you to grab your Bible. We're gonna be in this text the whole day, Luke 17. Grab your phone, whatever you got today to dig into the scriptures. We're gonna feast on the words of Jesus here. I'm gonna pick up in verse 1. We're just gonna look at the first 6. As we talk about resiliency and forgiveness, what it looks like today to be set free. I'm believing that there's gonna be some people that are set free today in incredible ways by the power of the Spirit as he moves. So here's what Jesus says. Jesus said to his disciples, temptation to sin are sure to come. So anybody been tempted to sin anytime recent? Guess what? Jesus says, that's gonna happen. So don't be surprised. Like, don't beat yourself up. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways to separate from God. There's all kinds of ways to separate from his ways. It is sure to come here, but it says, woe to the one through whom it comes. So we should take a moment. Am I causing somebody to wanna separate from God? Or am I causing somebody to separate from the truth of God? We really should think about that as we're going throughout our life. He said it would be better for that person if a millstone were hung around their neck and they were cast into the sea than if he should cause one of these little ones to sin or to separate. It's very powerful. It's very like, wow, seriously? Let's be mindful how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we model Christ. Verse 3, it says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, if he changes his mind, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times, this is where it gets really challenging. If he sins against you, if he does you wrong 7 times, and he turns to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must. Don't like that. Can we just be honest? We don't like that. It says you, what? Must forgive him. Then he says, the apostle said to the Lord, their response is our response many times, especially when we hear you must do something, and that must thing isn't something I want to do. Here's the response: Lord, we need more faith. What you're asking us to do is a hard thing. Actually, just forgiving somebody one time is a really hard thing, but now you just said if they do it seven times to me and they come back and ask for my forgiveness, I'm supposed to do it. Here's what we need, Jesus. We need more faith. How many of you ever said that to the Lord, right? Many of us have. Jesus, increase our faith, but look what Jesus says. Jesus, come on. Hey, guys. If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, tiny, tiny little bit, just itty bitty, you would be able to say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Now we're gonna loop back to this section of scripture because this passage where it says you would be able to say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and cast in the sea, actually pertains to forgiveness. We typically don't talk about that. But the context, which when you're reading the scripture, the context is super important. The context of Jesus' description and illustration here is in forgiveness. And so we're going to loop back and we're going to look at the details of why would Jesus give them this word picture about a tree being uprooted and cast into the sea. But first, I want to make sure we all have an understanding of forgiveness, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to forgiveness. So I've got two lists. My engineer is coming out of me. I've got some lists here, some checkpoints. And so I just want to make sure, at least on a foundational level, we all have an understanding of what forgiveness is not and what forgiveness is. So I'm going to start out with a list. I would love for you to take notes because this is super helpful, very, very practical in what we're going to get to a little bit later. But what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is not, here it is, saying that the wrong is right. Somebody do a little dance for that, yeah, right? When I forgive somebody, I'm not saying what they did to me was right or good. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Thankful for that. How many of you know there are things that people do to us that are not good? Man, that's a weak amen. Wow. We're gonna wake up a little bit today. I'm gonna say it again. There are things that happen to us in life that are not good. There are things that people will do to us that makes the Lord weep. Do you know that? He counts your tears. He stores them up. He knows your pain, actually at a deeper level than you do, because he loves you that much. And so I want you to know that forgiveness is not, when I forgive somebody, I'm gonna say, it's okay, what you did to me was all right. That's not forgiveness. That's not true, all right? That's one false thing about forgiveness. It's not saying that the wrong is right. Number two thing that forgiveness is not, it's not forgetting that the offense happened. It's not in there. Sometimes we think, man, I've forgiven them, I should forget. Or what typically happens if once again, we can be honest, is if somebody has offended you and you've told them that they forgave you and yet you're having a problem, they're like, I thought you forgave me, why are you bringing it up again? Anybody ever been in that situation? And here's what you can tell you. You can say, my pastor said, just because I forgave you doesn't mean I have to forget it. And you're like, well, where's he going with this? Here's what true forgiveness is. True forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. True forgiveness, when I forgive somebody, I'm removing the power of that past thing that I remember to have control over my life. Do you see the difference? Like, true forgiveness is not like, I'm not gonna look at it, I'm just gonna move on. That's not forgiveness, that's living in a fairy tale. Like, some traumatic things have happened in this room, and it's like, if a pastor got up and said, you forgive somebody, you forget, you're like, no, do you know how much that impacted my life? Here's what forgiveness, when I lean into it and I forgive, I am saying, Lord, here it is, I'm gonna not allow this memory that I do remember to have control over my life in the future. That's forgiveness, it's not forgetting. The third thing that forgiveness is not, it's not a one-time event. In this passage, it's interesting, it says seven times somebody offends you, extend forgiveness seven times. Another passage, Jesus says, the guys come to him, the disciples, they say, Jesus, how many times do we need to forgive somebody? And Jesus says, what, seven times what? Seven times 70. Now, you don't have to be a math major. We don't have to do that. You don't have to figure that out. What Jesus was speaking about, 7 times 70, was an idiom to say, Jesus is just literally saying, as many times as it takes to forgive them, that's how many times I need you to forgive them. It's not a one-time event. And so some of us in the room, we're walking with so much guilt and condemnation because you're like, I forgave that thing that happened in my life. Why is it still hurting me? I forgave that person, man, that thing that happened in my life. I forgave them. Why is it still bothering me? So here's what I need you to know. Forgiveness is not just a one-time thing. Sometimes we'll forgive somebody. We really will. We'll forgive them. We'll cut off the debt. And then maybe 10 years later, that thing feels like it just happened. Now, what happens in the church setting? Condemnation. I must not be doing it right. And the church is so good at that, man. I just want to tell you, I forgave them 10 years ago. It feels like it's fresh. Guess what today is? It's a fresh opportunity, 7 times 70. Lord, I forgive them again. You know why? Because as many times it takes. I forgive them. Man, tomorrow I wake up, something happens where I remember it. Guess what? Invitation. Forgive them again. The next day opens up. Man, I've already forgiven them. A song comes on the radio, reminds me of something that happened. Guess what? That invitation, the Lord's saying, Derek, will you forgive them again? It's not a one-time event. Sometimes we just need to be set free from the expectation that I'm just gonna forgive them once and it's gonna be done. No. It's as many times as it takes, as many times it comes back in and wants to rob you of life, that's an opportunity to forgive. The fourth one, final one here. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Man. God's heart is to reconcile all things, and he will one day. We are actually called ambassadors of reconciliation, ministers of reconciliation. But I need you to know there's a difference between forgiving someone and reconciling with someone. God says right here, Jesus says, you must forgive. So that's one thing. Reconciliation is not a one-way street. Reconciliation requires two parties, two individuals, two groups, two nations, whatever we got. It requires two people that say, I'm gonna humble myself and I'm gonna work towards togetherness. I'm gonna work towards union, all right? Forgiveness that says, no matter what the other party's gonna do, Lord, I'm gonna forgive them. And that may set the tone. It may pave the path towards reconciliation, but it's not guaranteed. So I need you to hear this. Some people need to hear this and breaking off some condemnation and some guilt in the room today. Just because you forgave somebody doesn't mean you need to trust them. Or I would put it this way. Just because you've forgiven somebody doesn't mean you should entrust yourself to that person. We're called to be wise. And so, man, if somebody has deeply hurt you, done some things, or you had a situation, forgiving them doesn't mean that you're gonna be best friends with them. Like, there can be space for that, but I'm telling you, you can be set free from that thing in the past. You can. Now, by God's grace, both parties said we wanna work towards union. That's great. I believe it's God's heart, but that's not always the case because two parties have to come together for that. Are we clear on what forgiveness is not? Yeah? So here's a couple things forgiveness is. Number one, forgiveness is releasing or cutting off a debt for your good. The term forgiveness is actually an accounting term when there's a debt owed. Forgiving that debt literally means to wipe that debt off. There's no longer a debt that's owed to that person. And the image that I always have with forgiveness goes back to, you know, my sports days. We would have sleds and we would put weights on them. You guys remember that? Some of you guys back in the day, you'd have some sleds and you put 45-pound weights on them and you get them to your back and you try to run with that resistance. That's really the picture of what unforgiveness is, that bitterness, that thing that was done to me. It's like a weight that we carry. How many of you have ever experienced that weight before besides me, right? It's heavy. And it gets heavier, honestly. The more it sits there, the heavier it gets. And what the picture of forgiveness is, it's like we've got ropes that are tied around us to that thing. And what forgiveness is, this is how I picture it when I'm in the moment where somebody's offended me, somebody said something, somebody has done something to me. What I picture myself in my mind is I picture taking huge scissors and I picture myself cutting off the ropes that are tying me to that thing that was done to me. And when I cut off those ropes, guess what? I'm free to move forward. See, that's the picture of forgiveness. It's cutting off a debt. It's releasing somebody from what we think you owe, what I think they owe me. And here's the important part, that last two things. Forgiveness is actually for your good. It's actually not for the other person. It's actually a gift of God for your life. Number two, forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice. We're just saying, God, even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Let me tell you, you don't have to have the warm and fuzzies to forgive somebody. You don't have to have this emotional rush of, yes, Lord, I want to forgive them. Yes. No, that's not necessary. Sometimes it happens. That's great. But it's not essential. It's not required. Forgiveness is a choice. Listen, you as a human being, we so buy into the lie. Listen, we have choices. If you don't believe me, just think about how many choices you're going to just make today. Think about how many choices you've already made today just to get here in the seat. Listen, forgiveness is a choice. We can choose, am I going to forgive this person or am I not going to forgive this person? It is literally a choice. Thirdly, forgiveness is a spiritual transaction. It's a spiritual transaction. Obviously, it has implications on relational things and whatnot, but I think we fail oftentimes in the Western culture to consider the fact that what we see is not always, is not everything. Like, there are things that are happening outside of what we see. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Like, how many of you know, like, right now, there are radio waves, which they start, like, getting freaked out, but there are things moving in this room that we can't see. Do you guys know that? Like, somebody could get an FM radio and turn on right here because there's things that are happening in this room that you and I can't see. But how many of you know, we're also in the reality that there is a spiritual component where there's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness, and there are things happening all around us that we can't always see right now in this room. And so when we step out and when we forgive, there is this ripple effect that goes out that we don't even understand the implications. Let me just give you a couple examples. When we teach this, we have a quick class that teaches through and digs in way deeper in forgiveness. When we teach on Sunday mornings or when we're just praying with somebody and we lead them through forgiveness, we've seen so many wild things happen. We've had a sister who was in a relationship tension with her other sister, and they hadn't talked in years because there was this family thing going on. I know none of you have family things going on, but just hang with me for a second. There was some family tension going on, and she was in our gathering, and she felt moved by the Lord to forgive her sister, to hand over the debt to the Lord, say, I'm going to cut this off. I'm going to release her from what I feel like she owes me, because she did me wrong, and I feel like she owes me. Once again, we know that feels like. So she, in a service, she said, Lord, I forgive the sister who she hadn't talked to in years, and she told me later that week that her sister, out of the blue, calls her up and says, this is stupid. We need to start talking again. Do you know why? Because forgiveness is a spiritual transaction that has implications that we don't understand. Or there's some situations where we'll have somebody who's prayed for healing for many times. They've come and they've asked for healing, which is awesome. At the end of the service here, we're going to pray for all kinds of things. Some of you guys have physical healing that you need. But we've seen in our own community where when somebody steps into forgiving somebody for a past thing, forgiving themselves sometimes, that for whatever reason, something breaks and they are able to receive healing and actually walk in miraculous power. But the doorway to that was forgiving first. Isn't that interesting, right? It's a spiritual transaction. And the fourth one here, and this is the one really, all we really need today, if we're just being honest, why I should forgive somebody is because it's a life-giving command from Jesus. Like, of all the other things, they're like icing on top. Like, let me just say, if Jesus says it, let me tell you, it's good for you. Like, sometimes we want to, like, argue, like, no. No, if Jesus said it, let me tell you, it leads you to life. If he commands it, oh, man. He says you must forgive. If he commands it, which he does several times, the scriptures time and time again, let me tell you, if he commands it, it is good for you. It is actually best for you. Listen to what Colossians 3 says. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. Isn't that called community? You know, sometimes we're in community, we frustrate one another, we step on toes, we hurt one another. That's part of being a community. If you're part of this church, it's going to happen because we're real people, right? So he says, when this happens, bear with one another. Don't just give up on the whole thing. Hang in there, figure out, show what it looks like to live Jesus. It says, bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, I'm sure that never happens in your relationships, but if it does, forgive each other. Now look at this last part. As the Lord has forgiven you, how many of you have been forgiven from the Lord? Yeah? Yeah? Come on now. Because you've been forgiven, you also must forgive. Oh. Like, it doesn't really give us a lot of wiggle room, does it? It's not like, well, this is what the Greek says. No. He said, you've been forgiven. Now give away what you've been given, Derek. Because I know what's best for you. I know it's gonna be good for you, not just for the other person. It's actually for your benefit that you would forgive. Now we have a little bit of understanding of what forgiveness isn't and what it is. And so now I wanna go back into the story Jesus was telling us. And I wanna look at the implications of the word picture that he gives them. So he's telling them about forgiveness. He says, if he sins seven times against you and he comes back to you and he changes his mind, he repents and asks for forgiveness, then you forgive him seven times. And the response says, Lord, increase our faith. This is a hard thing you're asking us to do. And so hear me, I'm not downplaying the challenge of this topic today. I'm not downplaying it. I know it can be very, very hard, but look at what Jesus says. He says to their response, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, once again, context is king. Jesus is teaching them about forgiveness. Their question came on the heels of forgiveness. Give us more faith. And Jesus gives them a picture that is actually tied to forgiveness. Now what a picture is, my translation, the ESV, it says a mulberry tree. And that's not the best translation. It's an accurate translation, but it's not the best translation. The word mulberry tree, I think we have it here. If you go to like the King James, or there's quite a few other translations that have that, but the original language is sycamine or sycamine tree. It's super important you see this, all right? We don't understand the context, we don't know the culture, and we don't know the land there, so when he says this, we're like, yeah, that kind of makes sense, but when you get the cultural impact and what they knew about the area when Jesus was saying this, it helps. So the mulberry tree or the sycamine tree is actually a very common tree, and it's known to have deep roots. And the reason why they use mulberry tree is because it looks very much like a mulberry tree. And its fruit actually has the appearance of mulberry figs. It looks very enticing. But actually its fruit is very, 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 very bitter. So not an accident. Jesus could have chosen any kind of tree. But he chose a tree that has deep, deep roots. Its fruit is bitter. And another fun fact, this tree was actually oftentimes used for people's coffins. I don't even know if I need to preach anymore. Like, let's just sit with that truth. Deep roots, bitter fruit, made for coffins. And this is the context of forgiveness or unforgiveness. See, unforgiveness, it looks attractive. It looks acceptable. It really, you just turn on Pop 40 radio and you're gonna hear lots of songs about bitterness. Some of our favorite people that we go to their big shows, they make a lot of money off of anger and bitterness, don't they? And they're teaching our generation that. We should just be careful. But unforgiveness, it looks attractive and it promises us good things, that it's gonna meet some deep need that we have. It seems acceptable. Man, this person did that to me, an eye for an eye, right? That's kind of our way. Man, they hurt me, I'm gonna hurt them. They spoke this over me, I'm gonna speak over this. But this is what Jesus has shown us, that the fruit of unforgiveness, it's always bitterness. It may look good to you, it may feel good for a moment, but listen, you and I, when we operate in withholding forgiveness, we will become bitter, bitter people, and our words and our actions will become bitter to every person in our path. Because the only fruit that unforgiveness yields is more bitterness. So Jesus says about this tree, this is what it looks like. It offers attractive, but man, very, very bitter fruit. But then he talks about a tree that has deep roots. And what we know is that the roots of unforgiveness are often deep. Like in this room today, man, there's some deep, 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 deep feelings and emotions and really identities that have been wrapped around how we've been hurt in the past. We've become almost comfortable living in that reality that this person hurt me. But what Jesus says, this tree that has deep, deep roots, whose fruit is bitter, whose wood is typically used for a coffin to bury people. He says, if you have just a little bit of faith, listen, you don't need more faith today to forgive. You have all you need for life and godliness. That means you have adequate faith to walk in the promises of God, walk in the commands of God. He says, if you have just a little bit of faith, you will tell this deep-rooted, bitter-bearing, coffin-like tree to get up and fly out of the ground and be tossed in the sea, and it will no longer be. Now think about the implications. Jesus is saying, listen, you have a little faith. You have a little, this is what you can do. You can choose to forgive, and when you do, those roots that are down there deep, they'll be uprooted, and they'll be tossed in the tree, and you'll be able to walk in and out in freedom. This is the power of Jesus. The power of his truth. It's the last thing I want to say about this, and we're going to take communion in just a moment, but listen, when we forgive an offense, we stop living as a victim, and we begin to experience empowering freedom. And once again, being a victim can easily become an identity like we talked about last week. I am fill in the blank. A person that was hurt, a person that was abused, a person. And once again, I'm not downplaying any of that. Trauma, those are real things that we need to navigate. But listen, listen, as much love and pastoral leadership I can give right now, listen, the pain you've experienced in the past, the hurt you've experienced, the trauma, the drama, all the things that you've experienced that have marked you, it is not God's desire that that would be your identity. He wants to set you free. And he says, this is how easy it is. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a forget thing. He says, if you have faith to trust me, to step and choose to forgive that person, to cut off the debt, that you'll be set free. Ephesians 4 is the last scripture I'm going to look at today. Ephesians 4. 30:32, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, all desire to hurt somebody. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So this morning, we're gonna conclude with taking communion together. So go ahead and grab your communion elements. Colossians passage that I referenced earlier, the Ephesians passage that I just read, both of them give us clear reason why we should forgive. He said, as you have been forgiven, you offer forgiveness now. So here's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna give a little space. I asked these guys just to play behind us just so we can not be distracted too much. Sometimes silence is hard for people, so I just ask them to play a little bit, but I'm just gonna ask you to close your eyes before we take communion. Remember we said that forgiveness is a spiritual transaction. So Lord, would you lead us to truth right now? Would you lead us into freedom right now by your Spirit? So I just want you to just have a moment with the Lord and just, man, is there any person, is there an experience, is there a past thing in your life that you know when I was talking about deep roots, when I was talking about bitterness, that you're like, I know exactly what the Lord is putting his finger on today. If there's a person in your life, an experience in your life where you've been hurt, you've been offended, you've experienced pain, and you've been holding on to that, and you know in the depth of your soul that it is killing you, it is robbing you, it is keeping you stuck. I just want you to sit in that for a moment. Think about that person, that group of people, that experience. As we sit with that reality, I think many of us have someone in the room, someone in our minds that have hurt us, done us wrong. But as we're thinking about that person, I just want us to shift our mind just for a moment, and I want you to think about Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the mercy, the grace, the justice of Jesus. I want you to picture Jesus. And I want you to just sit for a moment in the reality that he says that he came to take away the sin of the world, that he came to forgive, not to condemn. Just for you, like, let Jesus just speak that, let the Spirit move in you to remind you that he said he's faithful and just to forgive, faithful and just to forgive us all the ways we separate, all of our transgressions, all of our sins. Take a moment just to give your gratitude, your thanksgiving, that Jesus would see it fit, that his death wiped away your sin, that he forgave you. Don't even make it the room, but he forgave you with his life, death, and resurrection. Just thank him right now and sit in the reality that you are forgiven. It's part of your identity in the kingdom we talked about last week. You are forgiven. Jesus doesn't need to die again on another cross. You are forgiven. It's who you are. You are forgiven. So, Lord, we thank you for the fact that we've been forgiven, that you extended the grace and the mercy to us when we weren't even ready for it. So as you sit in that reality that you are forgiven, the scripture says now that you know forgiveness, you know you're forgiven. Now extend that forgiveness. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about that other person. Maybe even out loud, you just whisper, Lord, I forgive this person. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a step of obedience to follow the way of Jesus. Lord, I forgive this person. And I cut off the debt. I cut off what I feel like they owe me. I cut the strings off of that thing that I've allowed to impact my life that happened in the past, that's robbing me of the present, robbing me of the future. Lord, I cut it off in the name of Jesus. And I want you to picture, this is what you're happening. I want you to picture taking that person and handing them over to Jesus and trusting them with Jesus. It's not yours. They're not on your hook anymore. You don't have to force them. Jesus says, I make all wrongs right. Trust me. Trust me. So just release that person, release that group of people to Jesus. So Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy, for your love. Lord, I thank you for your justice that you do and you will make all wrongs right. So we trust you. We entrust ourselves to you. And just to seal this truth in today, we're going to take communion together. As we do this today, we're reminded of the beauty of Jesus, his body, his blood. This is a physical representation of what Christ did for us, that he laid down his life. And even as he was hung on a cross, what did he say about those that were hanging on a cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Even unto death, Jesus is modeling for us what it looks like to forgive. And so we take this and we remember the power of Jesus' life, the power of his death, the beauty of his death, and the power of this resurrection. So we remember his body that was broken, and we take and remember it. In the same way, we reflect on the power of Jesus' blood that wipes away all of our sin, all of our separateness, washed it away. Forgiveness, forgiveness. This morning, this is the taste of forgiveness. It'll stay on your tongue for a while. It's a reminder that you have been forgiven, that he initiated. You can't boast, it's not you, but you have received the grace and the mercy of God's blessing of his son, Jesus. So let's take and drink deeply of his grace. Lord Father, I thank you for the mercy you've shown us. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, Jesus, that you modeled for us what it looked like to live a resilient life, to model for us what it looked like to live unoffendable, to have offense come your way, and to release others, to walk in freedom, to walk in power and authority above the drama, above the trauma, but to actually extend the kingdom of God through forgiving those that offended you, those that persecuted you. Lord, I pray you would empower our community here at Christ Fellowship to be a people that forgive, that taste deeply and drink deeply of your forgiveness, and then offer that to a world that needs it modeled, that needs it so deeply. So Lord, as we leave here today, may we be representatives of Christ, offering forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, even for ourselves. We bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to have our ministry team at the front here. I know there's probably some different things going on in your lives, and you're like, man, I could use some community to pray with me. Maybe it's a deeper walk into forgiveness. Maybe it's healing prayer. Maybe it's reconciliation you're desiring. We would love to pray with you, to join our prayers with your prayers. So these guys would love to pray with you. Come on forward before you head out. If not, man, we love you guys. Enjoy the sunshine today.